You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day on this new short week, and it's been, crikey, an interesting time since I last spoke to my next two guests. It's the dream team, the double-headed dream team of Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, and of course it's the 5 o'clock shadow. I was just thinking about it, gentlemen. I sort of sat back over the weekend, you know, watching a bit of football, freezing myself to death because it's been snowing in Rotterdam. And I thought, you know what, it's so easy. Look at the really big long-term chart of equities. And occasionally you get a blip like 1987 and 2007, 2008. But you say to yourself, it's not difficult, is it? It just goes up and up and up. And with the amount of money that's being pumped into the system in the United States, i.e. $1.9 trillion being given to the U.S. population, $2 trillion being given to the U.S. infrastructure system, therefore creating loads of jobs, easy money, in other words, ultra-low interest rates, you say to yourself, why, as a broadcaster, do I want there to be a little bit of a setback? It's just because I want some kind of interest instead of this constant, constant bull market. David, you don't have a difficult job. I'll start with you.
You can't really say that. I mean, because if you trace these conversations from the time that we started or came out the blocks on January the 1st, you know, January the 6th, Capitol Hill was being mobbed by Trump supporters. We've had what else have we had? Sorry, we've had Archegos, we've had GameStop, we've had ships stuck in the Nile. I mean, you know, you name them, and with every time the media has tried, we've had inflation. Oh no, the inflation story. So I mean, along the way,
we've had a change in American government as well.
Okay.
But, these are moments in time. They're moments in time. They're tiny little blips on the long-term chart. You two, as long as you invest in companies that are well-capitalized, pay dividends, have good management, have a great track record, it's not difficult. And occasionally you go for something that's a little bit racier because you have a client that is open to taking on a little bit more risk. But I sat back and I said to myself, I'm an idiot for ever thinking that the market's going to go down. It's never going to go down. Nick, over to you on that one.
Okay, so let me just take a step back and say, let's talk about equities, okay? Because if you've been in the bond market the last couple of months, you would have been handing out your P45 and probably lost your job.
Yes.
So, yes, equity markets have been on an absolute charge since the lows that we saw in March. But David's exactly right. It's very much asset allocation. It's very much – they're not all been massive winners. Yes, the market in general's got up, but David's exactly right. You have to navigate these, what feels at sometimes like these black swans out of nowhere. I mean, I've got the one eye on my yield curve now. I'm looking at the VIX, looking a little bit complacent, thinking, when did you get out? The hard part is actually staying in this market and convincing clients not to get out. I mean, I don't know how many clients have told me, you know, it's time to get out. I mean, in fact, this afternoon, I was selling a little bit of Microsoft and Lockheed and Apple and a few little things, just take some money off the table because they've gone up so much, I'm becoming overweight them. But the hard part and half our job at the moment is convincing people to stay out. And I think the next thing, and David will probably attest to this, the next tough one is going to be, when do you actually lighten up an exit? I don't know. Definitely not yet. The market hasn't turned. It's going to, it's still lots of liquidity flopping around, lots of central banks, lots of things. And yes, it looks easy. Don't fight it, but we've said this so many times amongst the three of us. The point of least resistance at the moment is to the upside, and don't fight it yet. Don't fight it.
We were talking so many times, Nick and I, and occasionally with you, David. I said that, you know, the S&P 500 broke up to a new high, but then came back to below the old high. And I thought, you know, that's a sign that we're not going anywhere. And then suddenly last week, it all changed. And Nick, I'll stay with you on this one because you probably watched it on Friday, you know, Friday morning and then yesterday. It absolutely soared. And it, as I said, it's all to do with liquidity and spending.
So there's, I mean, we've done enough time on the show to talk about the reasons why, but in the very, very quick synopsis, the numbers that have been coming up, the economic data has been really good. I mean, the U.S., we weren't around on Friday on the show, but Friday's unemployment numbers were a blowout. Almost 1 million jobs. Unemployment rate dropping. The viruses have been rolled out. The ISM manufacturing numbers have been really good. I mean, we had numbers in the 60s, haven't been like that for like literally decades. So you've got to look at the price action on the screen. The markets are running ahead of themselves. Yes, they are. Why are they running ahead of themselves? Well, the numbers are good. The economic data is good. The fundamentals are good. If you have to look, markets are very forward-looking. We're looking quite a bit forward. There seems to be and of course, don't the liquidity. I mean, the central banks at the moment are holding all the cards. Yes, at some point I heard one of the former economists saying, we love the expression, he says that, you know, we're filling the bath up and we've been filling it and filling it and filling it, and at some point it's going to overflow. But it's not overflowing yet, you know. So no. This liquidity is sloshing around. And I guess the only little caveat to make the big bad bear feel better in the corner, that's you, Lindsay.
No, it's not anymore. I've given up.
No, don't do it. You're going to hex us. No, anyway. The only thing that you possibly be a little bit is that I'm getting a little bit concerned when I see Archegos, the margin, the amount of margin that's out in the system, all-time highs. And we've said this once or twice before. The amount of people that are borrowing money to buy stocks at an all-time high makes me a little bit concerned. And I'm a little bit concerned when I start reading things about non-fungible tokens and stuff. That's on the one side, I'm a little bit concerned. For now, I'm steady as you go. But I'm starting to flash a little bit of amber with one or two things like it. That's all.
David, I want to read something to you now. And if you go to the US Department of the Treasury's website, and an article which was concerning remarks by the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet L. Yellen, on international priorities to the Chicago. She spoke to the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Now, listen to this. She says, America is strongest when we engage with the world. And that's very, very important. It's a very key word, rather phrase. When I was born, she says, the United States was still recovering from the Great Depression and World War II. These tragedies cost countless lives, too many families lost nearly everything. But from the devastation, we learned an invaluable lesson. The United States must not go it alone. Look back at the last 4 years, under the Trump administration, and look at that U-turn. And don't you think that's a very telling sign? And maybe also one of the reasons why that the United States stock market is doing well behind the scenes. Incredible opening statement.
Yeah. In fact, when I mentioned that on January the 1st, things were different. Yes. If you go back to that time, just think of what we went through. We had Trump debating whether Biden had won just calling the election a fraud. And on January the 5th, I think we still had the Georgia election. There was no, you know, he could have lost, the Democrats could have lost those Senate elections, which would have changed the whole course of where America is. But I've been impressed by Biden. When I say impressed, he's a pretty dull man to listen to. When he gets up and he talks, you know, he looks like he's been Botoxed. He's got almost a wax model type approach, very quiet. But he's doing things now that the market likes. You know, he got the $1.9 trillion through. He's likely to get a package through, a stimulus package. Yes, he's pushing for higher tax rates, correctly so. And I was just listening to an interview now where, on balance, American companies pay no more than 10% of tax because of all the gaps that are there. So Yellen is now also going for a corporate tax rate, a minimum tax rate, so that you prevent companies, you know, setting up in Ireland and operating in America. So I think a lot of good things are being happening that are helping. But by and large, it's the vaccine rollout that has changed the course of where we are. People are feeling more confidence. They're going out and spending. Lindsay, I want to just say one thing, that when I look at a chart, and Nick's got he's got a lot in front of him. You might have it. If you go back 5 years or even 10 years on the S&P, that chart is a steady climber, as you said. This has not gone up. You know, this is not like Bitcoin. It's not showing those kind of elements. So it does seem to be a reasonable chart. You know, I'm not saying it's cheap, you know, but by no means cheap, but it's not excessive. And I think this is being backed now by, you know, particularly with interest rates low, It is being supported by pretty decent earnings, and Americans starting to feel a little better about themselves. You know, those loans. Carry on.
I was going to just go what David's saying. People wanting to get back to normal. So I saw a number this weekend. They released for the first time in America some movie on streaming, and was also done on at the cinemas. And yet, if you had a platform, you're allowed to sign up and get it. And it was Hulk versus Superman. I don't know, something like one of these sort of animated Marvel things. They took like record $250 million in its opening weekend because people just want to go back to normal things. And the first opportunity to go see a good old fashioned movie with some popcorn, the vaccines have been rolled out, you get a record. So I think I'm with David on this one. I think there's going to be a massive pent up demand of people wanting to. We have to look at what's happening with them. The US airline stocks have done the last couple of weeks. Yeah. I mean, they've shot the lights out. The Carnival Cruises and Norwegian cruise lines. Yeah. Also, they're fully booked for 2 years ahead.
They're fully booked for 2022 and 2023. Mm. You're exactly right. And have you seen the IMF numbers, Nick? Have you seen the IMF forecast? 6% global growth. I mean, obviously off a slightly lower base.
We might be heading out of this horrific pandemic with lives, millions and millions have lost. We might be heading into a period where, I mean, I've seen the comparisons over and over again of the Roaring Twenties and the 1920s. We might be heading the 2020s. I don't know if it's going to be that or not, but there's certainly, I know everyone I speak to that's waiting to get on their first plane and go for an overseas holiday as soon as they can. Honestly.
Yeah,
so I think it's a lot of pent up.
I'm not one of those. I've become insular and agoraphobic as well. But I will say thing about what David said about what you said about President Joe Biden. You know that he looks boring and he looks as though he's sort of frozen because of Botox and fillers and things like that. You know that he's had a stammer problem, a stuttering problem throughout his life. And that is why he sometimes is quite slow. I mean, apart from the fact that he's 78 years old, which is even older than you, he still has this problem, which he still has to battle. And that is one of the reasons why he appears a little ponderous occasionally. There's a BBC program at the moment with a BBC presenter who has a stammering problem, and she has produced this really, really quite moving half-hour program, including the references to Joe Biden. And he stutters. And the great thing about Joe Biden, as I've said before, is that he's not a demagogue. He's not a dictator like Trump was. Uh-uh. He is a delegator. So of the three D's, he's the best of the D's. No demagogue, demagogue, no dictatorship, he delegates things to people that are more competent than he is in their fields of expertise.
Lindsay, where you're giving up, and you shouldn't give up. And the one thing that scares us is that we watch inflation. You know, we watch whether or not shortages will start to push up prices. There's a lot of issues there. If you look at those manufacturing numbers, you know, if this demand does suddenly take off and we suddenly, you know, we know we're having it in the chip sector already, the semiconductors, motor manufacturers can't keep up simply with demand, simply because of chips. And there are a lot of areas where this is beginning to affect our manufacturing. You can get a little burst. And I watch that long rate. I watch those long rates very, very carefully. Because to me, that's just the, not Achilles heel, but maybe the soft underbelly that we have to watch in this market. And what surprised me on Friday when the job numbers came out and we saw the surge, and also on the announcement of the Biden's package of these $2.25 trillion, rates went up to 1.75, that's a 10-year, and then just kind of fizzled out. And I think they're about 1.68. I said,
they're 166 at the moment.
Yeah. Are they? Well, there you are. So, okay, I can live with it, but I watch that very carefully. You know, I'm not saying I'm complacent and just going to kind of surf into town, but, you know, it's one's got to keep vigilant. We can't, you know, you say we can just lie back. I don't think we can. I still think you've got to watch every day and just kind of review where you are and what the news is.
Nick, you know that the market is changing. Nick Kunze, you know when the market is changing, when Lindsay Williams starts to become bullish and David Shapiro starts to become cautious about inflation, about interest rates. I mean, it's all over now. You know that, don't you?
Do you know, guys, the markets are the markets are constantly evolving and they constantly change. And our jobs for David and I is to navigate these constantly changing markets. I mean, what's happened in 12 months from the likes of, you know, value in favor, value out of favor, tech shares leading us higher, tech shares drop. Chinese tech shares were all the rage 6 months ago. They're now not the rage. Bitcoin was the case in press. So much going on at the moment. So I just, I agree with David. It's just, there's a couple of indicators you've got to just keep an eye on. I mean, I'd add also the VIX there, volatility index. A little bit of complacency at the moment, but for now the US 10-year seems to be behaving. It's almost boringly behaving, but yeah, you got to keep an eye on it. And because inflation, my theme for this year ultimately is that I think inflation is going to come. It is 12 to 18 month lag, so I suspect the second half of this year investing wise will be not as easy as the last 12 months. That's for sure.
Let's have a look at the swap prices now. The dollar rand is 14.53. The British pound against the rand is 20.15. The euro rand is 17.22. The euro dollar is 118.45, which is 0.2% weaker US dollar. The cable, the British pound against the dollar, is 138.60. Gold price is 1744, which is up 18. That's just over 1%. The platinum price is 1246, which is up $30 in the last 24 hours, or 2.4%. Nick Kunzer, where's palladium, please?
Also bouncing back nicely. Currently 0.85% firmer, 2687 is the price.
Okay, let me try and get my oil price chart up. It was doing well this morning. It was up about 1.5%. Yeah, but there we go. Yes, goodness me, it's going even better now. The West Texas is up 3.1% to $60.46 per barrel. It's changed its big number from 59 to 60. The Brent crude oil price is $63.80, which is 2.75% higher as well. U.S. Treasury yield, as I said, is 1.66. And it's sort of consolidating, I think. And Bitcoin, Nick Kunzer, please.
Coming off the highs a little, $57,700 gets you a Bitcoin. It's down $1,000 on the day.
Yeah. Okay, good. What about the JSE Securities Exchange today, David Shapiro? Anything going on? I looked at a couple of things. Well, I looked at the news feed, but it didn't seem to me that anything after the Easter weekend was happening.
No. Look, commodity is very strong today. I mean, it's platinum shares, and also the diversifiers were very strong, so they led the market. Funny enough, you know, on the talk of those Chinese markets, Nice Person Process was two of the weakest performers here. In fact, among only a handful of shares that were down, but it was the miners that are very strong, and this has all been driven by more and more interest in commodities, with the big interest. You know, the big interest now, and all the stories around lithium and cobalt.
Copper futures were limit up in China this morning. Yeah. I mean, we don't often look. It's actually, as much as they trade on LSE, they also trade. I mean, the London Metal Exchange. They also trade in China, and we had 3% up iron ore. We had copper's the big one, and more I'm reading on copper, the more there's and Lindsay always likes the commodity talks, because this is like simple, stupid. It's like they're literally
deficit
for copper for the next. Yeah. No, simple, stupid trading commodities. It is. It's like they have to worry about intervening central banks and quantitative easing. It's like there's a deficit of copper. They can't get enough out of ground to meet the demand. It's as simple as that.
They're
factoring, I think, Jepson Matthew, I think they forecasting out to the end of 2022, David, with copper shortages. Yeah. So that's very good for Anglo-American, very good for Glencore, very good for a lot of us guys. It's the good stuff.
The problem is that Anglo's, Glencore, and BHP don't do any business in South Africa. You know, they're listed here, but the amount of exposure.
Well, it's nothing stopping investors buying exposure to them. At least you have the option.
I'm talking from an economic point of view. I'm not talking from a trading point of view.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, you know, from a trading point of view, it's wonderful. And
it's like it's not getting any tax revenues from them this year.
That's what I mean. So they could have done things better. They are getting from Kumba and they're getting from the platinum miners, but they're not getting from most of the others and that. But it's still a big story that I think is going to dominate.
Yeah, and I think you also had expression, David, that sort of rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
I think you know, if we get a little bit of inflation kicking in towards the end of the year and there's infrastructure spending, I mean, I saw a number of this. They said Deutsche Bank put a note out, there's 60,000 bridges in America.
Yeah.
Apparently, like 6,000, so 10% are literally derelect. And I think you mentioned a few times when you did that drive back to the airport
from JFK, yeah.
Oh, you just get it, you're going to make it down the bridge.
Even if you go into the underground there, and I find the underground super efficient coming from Johannesburg, but I mean, for most of the people who live in New York, yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, that steel was put
there, I don't know, 150 years ago, you know, I don't know how long ago.
So there's definitely that's where your infrastructure demands come. So there's a lot of positives to keep this market ticking higher for now.
It's
definitely
all very well for people to say, it's like Trump says, I'm going to cut rates. And the only reason he cut rates was not to boost the US economy or help the US population. It was because he wanted to reduce his debt bill for his crumbling so-called empire. We know that. I mean, and Nick, you can say as much as you say it's a generalization. It's not a generalization. He's a generalization. So anyway, but anyway, let's not talk about Trump. The interesting thing is how the $2 trillion will be rolled out. It will be rolled out, but how to allocate $2 trillion? Because $2 trillion sounds like an awful lot of money, but when you talk about 6,000 bridges, and when you see the potholes on the road, how does it start? And will it be passed by Congress? Will the Democrats support it? Will the Republicans support it? David, you know more about this than both Nick and I.
No, it's going to be. I think there's still a lot of politics, you know, involved around this. And I think the biggest question is not the amount that he wants to spend, but I think is on the corporate tax rate. And I think there's going to be a compromise along the way. But I think people recognize that corporates are getting away with murder. And, you know, even someone like Warren Buffett for years has been pushing along this, that the rich don't pay money, and this applies to corporates as well.
Yes.
Very, very few. You know, there's so many loopholes. And somewhere along the line, they've got to get the money. They can't print. You know, they can't print the money. It's got to come from taxes. And I look, when you estimate how much is produced by the corporations, you know, and I think this is where Janet Yellen's coming in and saying, you know, Apple go off to Ireland and this one goes off to some other tax haven. They never pay tax. I think there is a commitment.
Isn't she saying that there should be a global? Just to contextualize what you just said, isn't Janet Yellen saying that there should be a global corporate tax rate? Yeah. I mean, which is obviously a utopian dream for people that like to control the world, but it's an interesting concept that she came up with.
Mm. Well, she's trying to prevent people hopping out of America, setting up a head office, doing tax structures, and then, you know, not paying, but still using all the facilities that other taxpayers pay. You know, that anybody who's living there, that my daughter,
gentlemen,
my son,
I've got to jump onto a Zoom call, okay. So I'm going to have to leave the dream team now, and we'll chat in the morning. Gents.
Yeah, the dream is over, so I have to stay with Shapiro.
Gentlemen, enjoy the rest of the
Nick
show.
Nick Shapiro.
I'll chat to you in the morning, Lindsay. Cheers, David.
Okay, cheers. Bye. David, we were talking about the whole tax rate thing, and obviously I don't know if it was tongue-in-cheek when Janet Yellen said that, but anyway, she said it, and it's interesting. But the change in tone from the previous administration to the current administration is very interesting, and I wonder if it will have a sort of a feedback into Jay Powell and the central bank, the U.S. Federal Reserve. I wonder if that will happen, or if he will stay sort of autonomous and sort of isolated from government policy and from politics.
Well, he worked under Janet Yellen for a long time.
Mm.
I mean, so he knows her style, and I think he has tried to remain apolitical and down the middle. He knows what his job is and what he has to achieve. And I don't think he became a Trump fan. He might, you know, he might still be a Republican cardholder, but I don't think he pushes the party line. I think he knows he's sticking to, you know, to the policies that he's introduced. And I'm quite impressed with him. I just, you know, I'm quite impressed with what he's achieved, and the team as it stands now. I feel a whole lot better about where America is now than where it was 3 months ago.
I agree with you entirely. Let's have a look at the JSE today. The top five major moves. Old Mutual, I don't know why, but anyway, it's up just over 5%. Hammerson up 5%. You want to say something about Old Mutual?
You know what I wanted to say to you, just before you went on with it, I looked at the value. It was $14 billion today. Nothing.
Small.
You know, that's very, very small. And that's why I'm saying, hold on, this market's up 1.25%. You know, resources are up 2.5%. So there's big, big moves and a lot of strength. And then you look as to what drove it up, and there was very limited volumes behind it. You know, so that kind of bothers me. I would have thought that on a day to day we would have seen a lot more than the numbers that we have seen. So it just shows you how you can push these numbers up on very limited volume.
You can. And Old Mutual was pushed up, as I was saying, just over 5%. Hammerson up to 5%. Sibanye-Stillwater up nearly 5%. CAP up nearly, let's call it 4.6%. Liberty Holdings 4.5% higher. On the downside, Cartrack. This is a share that is very noisy, and there's something going to come out about this one because it's now 58 Rand a share and it was 80 Rand a share. It's all over the place. Down 10.5% today. We'll talk about that. I don't know what Zambezi P is. Oh, that's platinum. Zambezi Platinum down 2.5%. Process down 2.2%. Significant. Kumba Iron Ore down nearly 2%. And Aspen down 1.8%, David. It's been a very, very interesting start to the second quarter and an amazing start to 2021. Have you got the indices? Nick has left us with his four screens.
Well, I can give you what I can.
Give me what you can.
The all shares up 1.23% at 68064. The resource index 2.45 up at 68556. There's a new one, they're precious metals, you know, which is a combination of gold and platinum,
yes,
up 2.75 at 66009. The other one was consumer discretionary.
What does that mean?
Which is up 2.6%, I don't know. It's up 2.62% at 22290. But I'm trying to work out what the stocks are behind that, because I've been looking through the industrial market, you know, for any major gainers. So I would assume it's right down at the bottom, those shares that you actually mentioned that lifted up. Because for me, the industrial index, which I watch, the industrial 25, was only up 0.5%, you know, which is where you're going to find British American Tobacco, Prosus, and all of those kind of companies.
Right.
So a property index up 1.25%, but I'm a bit worried that there wasn't any trade. You know, that there's no trade behind some of the gains that we're seeing.
14 billion is the lowest we've seen for a long, long time. Yeah, very, very long.
Yeah.
Yeah, people coming back from Mozambique and Plettenberg Bay and all those other places. I don't know. David, now that Nick's gone, we can talk about football because we missed our Monday chat. I'm very, very sorry to hear that Liverpool – I watched the game, that Liverpool beat Arsenal 3-0. I mean, it was neck and neck for a while. But Liverpool,
for a while,
in wearing light blue, which offended me because they're a red team. I don't particularly like Liverpool, but I didn't like them wearing light blue. But they played your team, and they thrashed you in the second half.
Yeah, I don't know. This was Arsenal in the beginning of the season. They just didn't turn up, just weren't there, and it's very worrying because you wonder if these chaps are really committed. You know, I watched Jesse Lingard, who's been given a second life at West Ham. You know, you could see him enjoying himself. You could see him.
He smiled a lot, didn't he?
Yeah. He
smiled a lot. He smiled all the time.
But
he comes onto the pitch smiling and he leaves the pitch smiling. So he's enjoying his football.
Well, I'm saying you want to see people like that. You know, you want to see people just going on there, enjoying what they're doing. And when you watch Arsenal, it just looks like, okay, well, there's a whole lot of loanees, you know, chaps who are on loan. Aubameyang is getting, I don't know, how many 100,000 a week, 300,000 odd a week, pounds, etc. He's 31 now. He's got as many motor cars as he wants. He's got his brothers and his sisters and his aunties and his uncles, you know, and he just doesn't care. And he's captain. They just don't care. And that's what worries me about the team. And I detest that in, you know, where they're there to entertain, being paid this kind of money. And I say, look, it's not always, not only Arsenal. You sometimes see this in some teams where they just capitulate. Chelsea capitulated.
Oh yeah, 5-2 against West Brom. Did you see their game? It was absolutely fantastic. They completely collapsed. I mean, okay, they had a red card and they were down to 10 men, but still, 10 Chelsea men being paid 200,000 a week should be much better than West Bromwich Albion, which is the second worst team in the division. It's ridiculous. The other thing I would say about enjoying yourself is that, you know, I'm a Barcelona supporter and have been since 1977. When I watched the game last night between Barcelona and Real Valladolid, I saw a Lionel Messi that was a different Lionel Messi to what he was 3 months ago. Because when they scored in the 90th minute, when Ousmane Dembele scored in the 90th minute, he was so excited about that. And he ran over to Dembele and he hugged him and everything. And he looked as though he was really committed to Barcelona. It's all about being committed to your team, I think. And it's all about passion. Yeah. And Messi is passionate about Barcelona. Yeah. He's not going to leave. That is my considered opinion.
I don't think he would. I think he spent so much time there that it's so much part of him. I don't think he'd be happy anywhere else. I don't think he could make that kind of move.
No, I think he's too stupid. Actually, I don't think he's the. I don't think he's the cleverest bloke in the world. And if you read a book called Messi and the Art of Living, which is a very, very good book, you must read it. I think you realise that he's not the cleverest bloke, but he is the best footballer that has ever lived. And as we speak, the S&P futures are very close to an all-time record. Yeah, they are. Yeah, I mean, they're at 4,074 at the moment, up 0.2%, which is absolutely fantastic. Can it last? I don't know. Anyway, David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.